Thank you, my brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, and us in the universe family of God, for listening to my podcast, Personal God Consciousness in Jesus and Living Eternal Truths. I am Brother Dave, your host. Please visit my large website, www.purechristians.org, or ledbyjesus.org, same website. You'll find many valuable and comprehensive religious and spiritual resources there. When you get there, scroll about 25% down the homepage, and then you may read, download, and share my always free 100-page PDF of key highlights of my books on the nature, life, and teachings of our Creator, Son of God, and Son of Man, Jesus Christ. If any here wish to receive by email a free copy of the text on our show, comment, ask questions, or receive more free text, just email me, dave@purechristians.org. Freely we have received truth in God's Spirit. Freely we love to share His truth. We hope and pray that you do too. We thank you, our brothers and sisters in the perfecting family of God, of all mankind here on earth. We thank you all for listening. Thank you for your spiritual support. We thank you for sharing gems of truth with others. We have selected verses and paragraphs on this topic from the Christian Bible and from the unique 2,097-page Fifth Epical Revelation of Truth, which is named the Urantia Book. That revelation was given around AD 1935. It's in modern American English, and it allows our seeking minds and souls much joy and enthusiasm as we read these powerful verses. All reflective truth-seeking humans on this planet will find some value from these readings. It's freely available online. There's no copyright because only humans can hold a copyright, and this revelation was given by superhumans, so it's fully in the public domain, and so it allows us to then share portions of it wisely with others.
Now we continue in the Urantia book, the last part 4, The Life and Teachings of Jesus. That's papers 120 through 196. Now we are at paper 128, Jesus' Early Manhood, section 5, the 24th year, that's AD 18, paragraph 1. This is Jesus' first year of comparative freedom from family responsibility. James, that's Jesus' younger brother, was very successful in managing the home with Jesus' help in counsel and finances. I add, Jesus had 8 younger brothers and sisters. His human father, Joseph, was killed in a construction accident, so Jesus, at age 15 on, acted as the father of Mary and 8 younger brothers and sisters. And this was very good training for Jesus to learn more about humankind and to be able to better share the gospel, his gospel of truth. Now we go to section 7, the 26th year, that's AD 20, paragraph 10. In November, a double wedding occurred. James, that's the younger brother of Jesus, and Miriam, that's the younger sister. James and Esther and Miriam and Jacob were married. It was truly a joyous occasion. Even Mary was once more happy, except every now and then when she realized that Jesus was preparing to go away. She suffered under the burden of a great uncertainty. If Jesus would only sit down and talk it over freely with her, as he had done when he was a boy, but he was consistently uncommunicative. He was profoundly silent about the future. Paper 129, The Later Adult Life of Jesus. This is section 1. The 27th year, AD 21, paragraph 10. The Zebedee family, there were 3 Zebedee sons, John, James, and David. And later, John and James became apostles of Jesus, and David became the head of a messenger corps for Jesus. And the Zebedee family almost worshiped Jesus, and they never failed to attend the conferences of questions and answers which he conducted each evening after supper before he departed for the synagogue to study. The youthful neighbors also came in frequently to attend these after-supper meetings. To these little gatherings, Jesus gave varied and advanced instruction, just as advanced as they could comprehend. He taught quite freely with them, expressing his ideas and ideals about politics, sociology, science, and philosophy, but never presumed to speak with authoritative finality except when discussing religion, the relation of man to God. Paper 130, On the Way to Rome, Section 1, at Joppa, Discourse on Jonah, Paragraph 1. I add, Jesus traveled for almost 2 years with two rich Indian visitors to Jerusalem, Gonad and his son Gainad, to see the Greek, Roman, and Egyptian lands and people. Jesus never went to India. I'm reading on now. During their stay at Joppa, Jesus met Gedaliah, a Philistine interpreter who worked for one Simon the Tanner. Gonad's agents in Mesopotamia had transacted much business with this Simon, so Gonad and his son desired to pay him a visit on their way to Caesarea. While they tarried at Joppa, Jesus and Gedaliah became warm friends. This young Philistine was a truth seeker. Jesus was a truth giver. He was the truth for that generation on Urantia. I add earth and now for our world, and Jesus' large local universe of Nebanon. He is the living truth, the one way to God. Reading on, when a great truth seeker and a great truth giver meet, the result is a great and liberating enlightenment born of the experience of new truth. I often share, the more truth you share, the more living truth you are. Paragraph 4, in this narrative of the personal work of Jesus with his fellow mortals on this tour of the Mediterranean, we shall, in accordance with our permission, freely translate his words into modern phraseology current on Urantia, that's Earth, at the time of this presentation, which is A.D. 1935. Now we go to paragraph 6. Jesus states, your Father in heaven, by endowing you with the power to choose between truth and error, created the potential negative of the positive way of light and life. But such errors of evil are really non-existent until such a time as an intelligent creature wills their existence by mischoosing the way of life. And then are such evils later resulted into sin by the knowing and deliberate choice of such a willful and rebellious creature. This is why our Father in heaven permits the good and the evil to go along together until the end of life, just as nature allows the wheat and the tares to grow side by side until the harvest. Gedaliah was fully satisfied with Jesus' answer to his question after their subsequent discussion had made clear to his mind the real meaning of these momentous statements. I add, the true, beautiful, and good you do in loving and merciful service ministry this brief physical life is duplicated in you as a living soul now that will be resurrected into the next higher soul reality heaven after the death of your physical body. Section 2, at Caesarea, paragraph 7. This was a conference which lasted well into the night, in the course of which the young man, Gainad, requested Jesus to tell him the difference between the will of God and that human mind act of choosing, which is also called will. In substance, Jesus said, the will of God is the way of God, partnership with the choice of God in the face of any potential alternative. To do the will of God, therefore, is the progressive experience of becoming more and more like God. And God is the source and destiny of all that is good and beautiful and true. The will of man is the way of man, the sum and substance of that which the mortal chooses to be and do. Will is a deliberate, free will choice of a self-conscious being which leads to decision conduct based on intelligent reflection. Paper 131, The World's Religions, paragraph 1. This is in the introduction. During the Alexandrian Egypt sojourn of Jesus, Gonad and Gainad, the young man spent much of his time and no small sum of his father's money making a collection of the teachings of the world's religions about God and his relations with mortal man. Gainad employed more than 60, score is 20, so that's 60, more than 60 learned translators in the making of this abstract of the religious doctrines of the world concerning the deities. And it should be made plain in this record that all these teachings portraying monotheism were largely derived, directly or indirectly, from the preachments of the missionaries of Machiaventa Melchizedek, and that 4,000 years ago he was a high son of God who came forth down to earth to keep the light of truth alive. Then agents of Melchizedek, his disciples and students, they went forth from their Salem headquarters to spread the doctrine of one God, the Most High, to the ends of the earth. They mainly went to the east, to China, Japan, India, that area, far east. but some got, I guess, to Europe too. Paragraph 2. There is presented herewith an abstract of Dana's manuscript, which he prepared at Alexandria, that's Egypt, and Rome, Italy, and which was preserved in India for hundreds of years after his death. He collected this material under 10 heads as follows. 1. Cynicism. I add, one of the positively best human religions back then, not the same as the negative word cynic as used today. Now this is paragraph 9. If the faith of the Most High God has entered your heart, then shall you abide free from fear throughout all the days of your life. Fret not yourself because of the prosperity of the ungodly. Fear not those who plot evil. Let the soul turn away from sin and put your whole trust in the God of salvation. The weary soul of the wandering mortal finds eternal rest in the arms of the Most High. The wise man hungers for the divine embrace. The earth child longs for the security of the arms of the universal Father. The noble man seeks for that high estate wherein the soul of the mortal blends with the spirit of the supreme. God is just. What fruit we receive not from our plantings in this world, we shall receive in the next. And section 2, Judaism, paragraph 11. Love your neighbor as yourself. Bear a grudge against no man. Whatsoever you hate, do to no man. Love your brother, for the Lord has said, I will love my children freely. The path of the just is as a shining light, which shines more and more until the perfect day. They who are wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they who turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Let the wicked forsake his evil way, and the unrighteous man his rebellious thoughts. Says the Lord, let them return to me, and I will have mercy on them. I will abundantly pardon. Section 3, Buddhism, paragraph 2. Out of a pure heart shall gladness spring forth to the infinite. All my being shall be at peace with a supermortal rejoicing. My soul is filled with content, and my heart overflows with the bliss of peaceful trust. I have no fear. I am free from anxiety. I dwell in security, and my enemies cannot harm me. I am satisfied with the fruits of my confidence. I have found the approach to the immortal easy of access. I pray for faith to sustain me on the long journey. I know that faith from beyond will not fail me. I know my brethren will prosper if they become imbued with the faith of the immortal, even the faith that creates modesty, uprightness, wisdom, courage, knowledge, and perseverance. Let us forsake sorrow and disown fear. By faith, let us lay hold upon true righteousness and genuine manliness. Let us learn to meditate on justice and mercy. Faith is man's true wealth. It is the endowment of virtue and glory. Paragraph 4. Cheerfulness and gladness are the rewards of deeds well done, and to the glory of the immortal. No man can rob you of the liberty of your own mind. When the faith of your religion has emancipated your heart, when the mind, like a mountain, is settled and immovable, then shall the peace of the soul flow tranquility like a river of waters. Those who are sure of salvation are forever free from lust, envy, hatred, and the delusions of wealth. While faith is the energy of the better life, nevertheless, must you work out your own salvation with perseverance. If you would be certain of your final salvation, then make sure that you sincerely seek to fulfill all righteousness. Cultivate the assurance of the heart, which springs from within, and thus come to enjoy the ecstasy of eternal salvation. Paragraph 5. No religionist may hope to attain the enlightenment of immortal wisdom who persists in being slothful, indolent, feeble, idle, shameless, and selfish. But whoso is thoughtful, prudent, reflective, fervent, and earnest, even while he yet lives on earth, may attain the supreme enlightenment of the peace and liberty of divine wisdom. Remember, every act shall receive its reward. Evil results in sorrow, and sin ends in pain. Joy and happiness are the outcome of a good life. Even the evildoer enjoys a season of grace before the time of the full ripening of his evil deeds. But inevitably there must come the full harvest of evil doing. Let no man think lightly of sin, saying in his heart, quote, the penalty of wrongdoing shall not come near me, unquote. What you do shall be done to you in the judgment of wisdom. Injustice done to your fellows shall come back upon you. The creature cannot escape the destiny of his deeds. Paragraph 7. A righteous soul is more to be desired than the sovereignty of all the earth. Immortality is the goal of sincerity, death the end of thoughtless living. Those who are earnest die not. The thoughtless are dead already. Blessed are they who have insight into the deathless state. Those who torture the living, will hardly find happiness after death. The unselfish go to heaven, where they rejoice in the bliss of infinite liberality and continue to increase in noble generosity. Every mortal who thinks righteously, speaks nobly, and acts unselfishly shall not only enjoy virtue here during this brief life, but shall also, after the dissolution of the body, continue to enjoy the delights of heaven. Section 4, Hinduism, paragraph 4. With our hearts purged of all hate, let us worship the Eternal. Our God is the Lord of prayer. He hears the cry of his children. Let all men submit their wills to him, the resolute. Let us delight in the liberality of the Lord of prayer. Make prayer your inmost friend and worship your soul's support. Quote, if you will but worship me in love, unquote, says the Eternal, quote, I will give you the wisdom to attain me, for my worship is a virtue common to all creatures, unquote. God is the illuminator of the gloomy and the power of those who are faint. Since God is our strong friend, we have no more fear. We praise the name of the never-conquered conqueror. We worship him because he is man's faithful and eternal helper. God is our sure leader and unfailing guide. He is the great parent of heaven and earth, possessed of unlimited energy and infinite wisdom. His splendor is sublime and his beauty divine. He is the supreme refuge of the universe and the changeless guardian of everlasting law. Our God is the Lord of life and the comforter of all men. He is the lover of mankind and the helper of those who are distressed. He is our life-giver and the good shepherd of the human flocks. God is our father, brother, and friend. And we long to know this God of our inner being. That's the good. That's closer to the way Jesus has taught. They got that, of course, from Melchizedek, who came, as I said, about 2,000 years before Jesus incarnated here to keep the light of truth alive. So that's where the other religions do have essences or parts of Jesus' gospel. Paragraph 5, we have learned to win faith by the yearning of our hearts. We have attained wisdom by the restraint of our senses, and by wisdom we have experienced peace in the Supreme. He who is full of faith worships truly when his inner self is intent upon God. Our God wears the heavens as a mantle. He also inhabits the other six wide-spreading universes. I'll explain some of that. Yes, long ago it was revealed to mankind on earth that there are seven super-universes in time and space. Each one has 100,000 local universes. Each local universe has 10 million human-inhabited planets at the end of this first grand universe supreme age. That is a total of 7 trillion human-inhabited planets. In the whole cosmos infinite, there could be an infinity of super-universes, galaxies, if God the Universal Father I Am so desires. Much higher than the physical galaxies are the higher, ultimate, and absolute mind, spirit, and personality realities in the total cosmos. All right, now back to Hinduism, reading on. He is supreme over all and in all. Of course, that's God, our Father. We crave forgiveness from the Lord of all of our trespasses against our fellows, and we would release our friend from the wrong he has done us. Our spirit loathes all evil, therefore, O Lord, free us from all taint of sin. We pray to God as a comforter, protector, and savior, one who loves us. Now we go to section 6, Sudanism, which is also known as Jainism, paragraph 2. The Lord of heaven is supreme. Those who commit sin will not ascend on high. Those who walk in the paths of righteousness shall find a place in heaven. We are assured of the life hereafter if we know truth. The soul of man may ascend to the highest heaven, there to develop its true spiritual nature to attain perfection. The estate of heaven delivers man from the bondage of sin and introduces him to the final beatitudes. The righteous man has already experienced an end of sin and all its associated miseries. self is man's invincible foe, and self is manifested as man's four greatest passions, anger, pride, deceit, and greed. Man's greatest victory is the conquest of himself. When man looks to God for forgiveness, and when he makes bold to enjoy such liberty, he is thereby delivered from fear. Man should journey through life treating his fellow creatures as he would like to be treated. Section 7, Shinto, paragraph 3. Every time man yields to his anxiety, he steps one step away from the leading of the spirit of his heart. Pride obscures God. If you would obtain heavenly help, put away your pride. Every hair of pride shuts off saving light, as it were, by a great cloud. If you are not right on the inside, it is useless to pray for that which is on the outside. Quote, if I hear your prayers, it is because you come before me with a clean heart, free from falsehood and hypocrisy, with a soul which reflects truth like a mirror. If you would gain immortality, forsake the world and come to me. Unquote. Section 8, Taoism, paragraph 6. They who know the laws of the eternal are wise. Ignorance of the divine law is misery and disaster. They who know the laws of God are liberal-minded. I add here, liberal here means liberty, freedom to seek truth for yourself, not the left-right political divide today. If you know the eternal, even though your body perish, your soul shall survive in spirit service. You are truly wise when you recognize your insignificance. If you abide in the light of the eternal, you shall enjoy the enlightenment of the Supreme. Those who dedicate their persons to the service of the Supreme are joyous in this pursuit of the eternal. When man dies, the spirit begins to wing its long flight on the great home journey. Section 9, Confucianism, paragraph 4. A wise man is occupied with the search for truth, not in seeking for a mere living. To attain the perfection of heaven is the goal of man. And they always say male here terms, and that's correct because they're talking about we're all spiritually classified. All humans, male and female, are equally spiritually classified as sons of God. And the daughters of God are the many types of angels. Well, that's why you'll see man or mankind or person, human, a lot of male terms, woman, female, and so on. All right, reading on here. The superior man is given to self-adjustment, and he is free from anxiety and fear. God is with you. Have no doubt in your heart. Every good deed has its recompense. The superior man murmurs not against heaven, nor holds a grudge against men. What you do not like when done to yourself, do not to others. Let compassion be a part of all punishment, in every way endeavor to make punishment a blessing. Such is the way of great heaven. While all creatures must die and return to the earth, the spirit of the noble man goes forth to be displayed on high and to ascend to the glorious light of final brightness. And here in these world religions is section 10, Our Religion. This is paragraph 6. This is stated by Gained, a young man who followed Jesus in his travels for about 2 years and strongly believed in Jesus. And Gained was with his father Gona. They were rich merchants from India visiting and met Jesus in Jerusalem. And so then they traveled for almost 2 years. And Gained had his dad, Ashley, hire 60 scholars to go through the libraries there in Egypt and I think also in Rome to pick out these spiritual truths. And Jesus helped him in picking out some of these verses too. So here's what the Gained states. This is his view of the teachings of Jesus and what they accumulated. I will every day thank God for his unspeakable gifts. I will praise him for his wonderful works to the children of men. To me, he is the Almighty, the Creator, the Power, and the Mercy. But best of all, he is my Spirit Father, and as his earth child, I am sometime going forth to see him. And my tutor, as Jesus when incarnate here, has said that by searching for him, I shall become like him. By faith in God, I have attained peace with him. This new religion of ours is very full of joy, and it generates an enduring happiness. I am confident that I shall be faithful even to death, and that I will surely receive the crown of eternal life. Paper 132, A Sojourn at Rome, Section 2, Good and Evil, all 10 paragraphs. Paragraph 1, Martus, M-E-R-D-U-S, was a knowledge leader of the Cynics of Rome, and he became a great friend of Jesus, the scribe of Damascus. Day after day, he conversed with Jesus. Night upon night, he listened to his supernal, heavenly or divine, teaching. Among the more important discussions with Martus was the one designed to answer this sincere Cynic's question about good and evil. In substance and in 20th century phraseology, Jesus said, "My brother, good and evil are merely words symbolizing relative levels of human comprehension of the observable universe. If you are ethically lazy and socially indifferent, you can take as your standard of good the current social usages. If you are spiritually indolent and morally unprogressive, you may take your standards of good the religious practices and traditions of your contemporaries. But the soul that survives time and emerges into eternity must make a living and personal choice between good and evil as they are determined by the true values of the spiritual standards established by the divine spirit which the Father in heaven has sent to dwell within the heart of man. This indwelling spirit is a standard of personality survival. I add, this spirit of God within your soul and mind is called your thought adjuster, also called mystery monitor, divine pilot light, your spirit integrity, and other terms. Reading on, Jesus teaches, this is paragraph 3, goodness like truth is always relative and unfailingly evil contrasted. It is the perception of those qualities of goodness and truth that enables the evolving souls of men to make those personal decisions of choice which are essential to eternal survival. The spiritually blind individual will logically follow scientific dictation, social usage, and religious dogma stands in grave danger of sacrificing his moral freedom and losing his spiritual liberty. Such a soul is destined to become an intellectual parrot, a social automaton, and a slave to religious authority. Goodness is always growing toward new levels of the increasing liberty, moral self-realization, and spiritual personality attainment, the discovery of and identification with the indwelling adjuster. And that is, I add, the pure spirit of God indwelling you and co-creating with your God-seeking will the high soul duplicate you. Reading on, Jesus teaches, an experience is good when it heightens the appreciation of beauty, augments the moral will, and enhances the discernment of truth, enlarges the capacity to love and serve one's fellows, exalts the spiritual ideals, and unifies the supreme human motives of time with the eternal plans of the indwelling adjuster, all of which lead directly to an increased desire to do the Father's will, thereby fostering a divine passion to find God and to be more like Him. As you ascend the universe scale of creature development, you will find increasing goodness and diminishing evil in perfect accordance with your capacity for goodness experience and truth discernment. The ability to entertain error or experience evil will not be fully lost until the ascending human soul achieves final spirit levels. And that could be probably a trillion years before we're all spirit perfected to attain eternal paradise. But don't worry, as we ascend, we surpass the concept of time. We rise above time limitations, and later we'll rise above space limitations. So that trillion years is glorious, and you don't think, oh, it's a long time or anything like that. When you're that high, time is basically meaningless. You're becoming more and more eternal. And space starts to disappear as you realize the reality of paradise, unqualified. Paragraph 7. Goodness is living, relative, always progressing, invariably a personal experience, and everlastingly correlated with the discernment of truth and beauty. Goodness is found in the recognition of the positive truth values of the spiritual level, which must, in human experience, be contrasted with the negative counterpart, the shadows of potential evil. This is important here, paragraph 8 and 9. Until you attain paradise levels, goodness will always be more of a quest than a possession, more of a goal than an experience of attainment. But even as you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you experience increasing satisfaction in the partial attainment of goodness. The presence of goodness and evil in the world is in itself positive proof of the existence and reality of man's moral will, the personality, which thus identifies these values and is also able to choose between them. By the time of the attainment of paradise, the ascending mortal's capacity for identifying the self with true spirit values has become so enlarged as to result in the attainment in the perfection of the possession of the light of life. Such a perfected spirit personality becomes so holy, divinely, and spiritually unified with the positive and supreme qualities of goodness, beauty, and truth, that there remains no possibility that such a righteous spirit would cast any negative shadow of potential evil when exposed to the searching luminosity of the divine light of the infinite rulers of paradise. And that's God the Universal Father, God the Eternal Son, and God the Infinite Spirit. The three coordinate deity spirit persons constituting the unity of the Paradise Trinity. In the Trinity, don't think first of three, think Trinity unity is first, and then there are the three persons comprising this Trinity unity of God the Father, Son, and Spirit. Reading on, in all such spirit personalities, goodness is no longer partial, contrastive, and comparative. It has become divinely complete and spiritually replete. It approaches the purity and perfection of the Supreme. Last paragraph here, paragraph 10, the possibility of evil is necessary to moral choosing, but not the actuality thereof. Its shadow is only relatively real. Actual evil is not necessary as a personal experience. Potential evil acts equally well as a decision stimulus in the realms of moral progress and the lower levels of spiritual development. Evil becomes a reality of personal experience only when a moral mind makes evil his choice. Okay, so that's enough for this section, and then we'll do part 13 in about 2 weeks. Rather than say goodbye, I prefer to say farewell, do well. ¶¶